When they say that did you understand what they just said about the meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just record it.
Okay. So good morning, everyone. I'll be introducing one of my closest family member here. His name is Loic Yonta, and he lives in the UK right now. And his way of thinking is something that I'm passionate about. Like he has always been a thinker, someone that sees far, and that's one of the reasons why I want to talk about him today throughout our conversations. So one of the things that we are going to talk about today was friendship. So like there's this thing that everybody talks about, like this person is my friend, or this person I grew up with him since we are six or since we were born, and we have always been friends then. So what is the meaning, like what does it really mean to be friend with somebody?
Well, thanks for having me today, and I'm excited about this conversation and the opportunity to talk about everything, what's going on in the world. And yeah, when it comes to friendship, I would say a friend is like a family member without blood relation. So for me, a friend is a person that you can rely on. It's a person that you can trust. It's a person that is part of your journey. And the criteria for me to consider someone as a friend is, the first criteria is trust. I would say trust. I would like to be able to tell everything to my friends. I would like to be comfortable enough to share my experience, for my friend to be a window of my journey, and to be like someone I can talk to, someone I can confess everything that I'm going through. I would like my friend to be not jealous of my accomplishment and competitive.
Yeah.
So this is another criteria for me. So the first one will be trust. The first one will be to be like my friend to be like a confidant. The second one will be my friend not to be competitive with me, not to feel threatened by my success and by my ambition. Because
is
one of the reasons a lot of people break their friendship, because you have someone who you've been friend with for a long amount of time, and then something changed in your life and there's a new opportunity. Maybe you find a new job, a very good job that you've been seeking, or you find a girlfriend or a boyfriend and your friend is single, and then you start realizing that your friend kind of changed in front of you and kind of sabotaging your current situation. And for me, I don't want to quantify friendship in a way that it has to be something that is linked with money.
Whatever you are doing. Okay,
success.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It has to be something genuine to me.
Yeah.
So yeah. So
I would even say that sometimes you will believe that friends will disappear, or friends, you will no longer be friends with somebody when something goes south in your life, you know, because most of the time people will think that it is only when something is not good, it's not going well, and that somebody is no longer your friend in that moment, that means that that person was a bad friend or something. But I believe even in a success period, you know, when you have a high success in your life, there are many friends that will disappear at that moment too, because they cannot handle the fact that you are above them. And also you realize that there are many friends that when you don't have that success yet, they will push you towards your goals, you know. They will do everything. But the thing is, they don't realize themselves how they will react when you will achieve that goal. Because when they are pushing you towards that goal, at that moment, you are like at the same level as them. You are walking towards your goal, and he's walking or she is walking also towards their goal. And then when you achieve your goal and they see that you have so much success that they didn't believe you can have, that friend sometimes I would say it is a psychological thing. Like sometimes they will be like they will stop talking to you because they think that they are not on your level anymore. It's not even regarding the fact that they don't want to be your friend anymore or because they were fake friends before. It's just that at that moment when they realize that you are too far away to reach, they back off because they think that they are not on the same league as you, which I believe is not a good way of thinking because a friend should be there through your bad moments and through your good moments too. They should not like back off or be intimidated by your success or be thrown out by your disillusions, you know?
Yeah, I believe it has to be a blueprint of friendship because it's just, like you say, it's just human nature of psychology. So many friends react the way they react on your success. They didn't even plan to react this way. It's just
they didn't know that they
would be so jealous or intimidated about your accomplishment. Although they were helping you to reach the goal, but when you actually reach the goal, they tend to bring it toward themselves. Or okay, we were kind of in a struggle together, and he had a vision, and then he accomplished the vision. Where am I right now? Like, why is he getting all the reward and I'm still in the same place that I used to be? So instead of the advice I would give to many friends is, instead of feeling jealous and intimidated about that, you should feel inspired
and exactly, you know, try to
reach, let's say you're ambitious as your friend, try to reach, at least it's not a competition, you know, it's more like both of you guys have your own ambition. That's why even being in a good vibe with a person is not really, that should not be the only qualification for the person to be your friend, because friend is a very complicated relationship. If it's just because of the vibe, like this guy's making me laugh all the time, let's be friends. You have to structure friendship as well. You know, there are people that you can call friends, but you will never tell them about a promotion at work. You just go and watch football or UFC or whatever together.
I've listened to a podcast lately. It was featuring Simon Sinek. He was talking about most of the time when you have bad news, you know, you might have like 12 people that you call friends that you can talk to, you know, regarding that bad news, and they will all be like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, and they will be very, very sorry about it, because you are going through a bad moment and they want to be your friend at that point of time, so they are going to do everything in their power to like make you feel better, or they will show you that they are making everything they can, you know. But when you have something great that is happening to your life, that's what that number reduces to maybe 4. And that is something that I struggled to understand. I didn't struggle to understand, but I didn't realize that it was that way. And I found it very true. Because when you have a big success in your life, the number of people that you can tell that to, and they will be genuinely happy about that information, it's very reduced to the number of people that you will tell a bad news to. And that's where I started to wonder what is really a good friend. Because a good friend is not always it's not only somebody that will be there when you are going through a bad moment. It's also somebody that will be getting you happy for you when you are going through a success too. Because most of your friends, when you are going to tell them a good news, they'll be like, oh, I'm happy for you. And then that day, the conversation is going to end. They are not going to follow up on that success that you have just had, you know. They're not going to, that most of the of your friends will be, okay, I'm happy for you that day. You will have a conversation. You will eat. Maybe if you throw a party about it, you will eat and everything. But after that day is over.
Yeah, that's why what you say is very pertinent, because I've been watching a podcast. There's a very famous guy. His name is Robert Greene. You might know him.
About
power.
Yeah.
So he was talking about how to literally uncover people's reaction, what they actually think. So for instance, like you say, let's say you announce a good news to a person, and a person tell you that that's great, but the behavior of the person is awkward. Like, it's your friend, so you know him. So
yeah, the behavior doesn't match what he's saying.
Yeah. So Robert Green was actually saying that you can actually uncover what the person really think, if the person is actually happy for you or not. Like, like there's a split second when you announce a good news or a bad news to a person. Although the person can say something like, let's say, oh, that's sad, oh, that's great, but his physical expression doesn't lie. So there's a split second when you announce a news to a person, watch his face, you know, you will notice. Now that I'm telling you, you will notice that there's a split second before the person tell you, oh, that's great, that you can see in his face, like, see, that's great, but you will see it's in his face. The split second after you're telling him the news, you will see the reaction. Actually, if you actually pay attention, you will see the reaction on his face, the grin on his face, or the excitement. Anyway, you will uncover his true feeling about the news that you've been you just told him. So yeah, this is the thing. So when it comes to friendship, this is the type of people that you have to be careful, because it's not only about being jealous, about doing something about it. They can actually do something about it. Let's talk about not success, because maybe success, like a promotion, is difficult for them to do something about it. But let's say a relationship, your friend, and you have a girlfriend, and you're finally in a relationship, and the friend is still single. But since it's your friend, you might introduce him to your girlfriend, let's say like that. But if he's actually jealous of your relationship and you actually found a very good girlfriend, he might be sabotaging your relationship in the background, just out of jealousy of you being finally in a commitment relationship, you know. So when to answer the question about the perfect friend is the friend that, regardless of what happening to you, let's say even if you win the lottery, is a person who can be happy for you without putting himself into the picture.
Yeah,
you know, it's just about you. Something happened to you, it's just about you. You don't have to put yourself, where am I, or where do I stand in this new thing going on in his life. No, that's not friendship. That's just someone who want like they say misery like company. Is just someone who like you to stay in the same space as he is or she is. So yeah, to answer the question, a friend is a person who you can trust. It's a person who will not show jealousy whatever happening to your life, you know, and it's a person who shows reciprocity in a way that what you do for the friend, he can match that energy. You know, it's not for you to call the friend all the time to check on him. It's not when you call your friend and talk to him, it's not for him to just tell you whatever is going on into his life without even asking you how was your day. You know, you are not it's psychiatrist or something like that. It's just it's a two-way conversation. It's a person who care about you the way that you care about him. It's a person who's genuine about your well-being. Yeah.
And also, you will see that there are many friends that even doesn't put you on a spot where they will realize that you will surpass them. So they might know that there is an opportunity that they cannot take that opportunity. Let us say, you know, they know that they can give you that opportunity or talk to you about it, and they know that if you take that opportunity, your success will be like way higher than theirs. They won't talk to you about it. That's also what I define about friendship. You know, it's somebody that can talk to you about opportunities that they know you will surpass them in every way in life if you take that opportunity. Because many people will be afraid to do it. They will see an opportunity and they will be like, okay, they will take that opportunity. They will try to take that opportunity and they will fail. When they will fail, they won't talk about it to other people, because they want the other people to figure out that opportunity themselves. They know that if they talk to you about it, you are going to succeed in it. And if you succeed in what they failed to, that's going to ruin the relationship for them, not for you. You know, so that I also think that I also think that friendship is the essence of friendship. I have said it many times to many of my friends that the essence of friendship is friendship with interest. Why do I say that? Because a friend is somebody that can push you forward. You know, but not only push you forward, you have to find in a friend somebody where you can be emotionally stable too. Because when you are going through, maybe let us say depression, your friend can be able to take you out of that depression, you know. So yeah. There is emotion, you can be emotionally stable towards a friend. You can be that one that pushes him forward. You can be that one that makes him laugh. You can be that one that makes him safe, you know. Because, and that all of that is interest. Because if you see somebody where you cannot find, he cannot even make you laugh, you know, he cannot do anything for you in your life, all you do is maybe, let us say, talking about bullshit, or maybe playing games all the time. Like all the time that you meet, you're only playing games. There's nothing deep about your friendship. For me, that's not friendship. Or for me, those people are not friends. Those people are just wasting their time, you know. So
yeah, it's legit. And people might misunderstand when you say interest is not always quantifiable, it's not materialistic. Sometimes interest is more like, it's a, like you say, a friend has to have your interest at heart. Yes. So it's someone that push you, it's someone you are gaining something. That's not money, that's not
that, yeah, something. It doesn't have to be money. Yeah,
personal growth, emotional support.
Yeah,
you know, it's
yeah,
just
exactly, yeah,
you know, let's, and it's someone that is versatile to your growth.
Yeah, like,
so many people had childhood friends, and when they grew up, they realized that they don't have, nothing is common anymore, because as a child we were just playing, like a friend was just good vibe, you know. Yeah. But when you're growing up and you're starting, maybe you're going to uni, and that childhood friend don't want to go to school, you just want to do some McDonald's job.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you know, exactly. When you talk to the person and say, okay, I want to do 4 years degree, and after that I want to do this, the person can relate to what you're saying. It doesn't know what to tell you, because so it's not the same reality at that point. It's unfortunate, but it's that friendship is limited. For me, that friendship is limited. You can't, there are things that you can't tell him because the person won't understand. You know?
And they will understand that with another person, because I read a book where they said somebody cannot be your friend, not because they are a bad friend, it's just that you are in a bad friendship.
Yeah.
And that was very deep, because that person that's a bad friend for you is a very, very good friend for another person, you know.
It's
a very, very good friend for another person, because they have the same interest, but you have very different, you don't see things eye to eye with that person, you know. They see things very different. They don't want to progress in life. They just want to stay low. They don't want to be bothered about what they are doing right now. And you are doing everything to make them progress, but they don't want that, you know. But they can find somebody. They can find somebody that wants exactly what they want, and they will be very, very best friends, you know. Yeah. So most of the time too, it's like, be those people. They are not like bad friend. It's just that we find ourselves in bad friendships, and we just have to.
That's true. We just find ourselves, not, I won't even say in bad friendship, but in friendship that's not really beneficial to us anymore.
Yes.
You know, it's like you know, there's a famous say that the five people, your five friends define you. For instance, so your five friends should match who you are as a person. So many people say that, okay, if you want to know a person, just ask him to show you the five friends, his five friends around him.
His circle,
circle. So based on the circle, you can find a pattern, and you can actually do a profiling on the person and know exactly what type of person he is. This is true. So even let's say you want to elevate yourself in life, like upgrade in your position, or maybe you're an entrepreneur, you want to find money. Of course, they always tell you to go meet people that are, find a mentor, meet people that are doing the similar things as you do, like who is looking to open a company as well. These type of people that you have to surround yourself with, definitely. So this is like you say, because these persons are beneficial to you. You know, you will be friends with those person, obviously. And this is also called networking at the same time. So, but for me, I have mixed feeling about this because I'm still the type of person who don't want to see life in a way that if someone don't bring nothing to me, I can't call that person my friend. I still want to call that person my friend, but I have to be realistic on the human nature as well. Like this type of person, sometimes you have to structure your friendship. Like I say, for me, the best scenario in this particular situation is to just structure my friendship. There are people that I grew up with. I don't want to be that type of person that, let's say, I reach a certain high that they didn't reach and I just forget about them. I still want them to know that I'm going to be here if they need me. But at the same time, I'm not going to give them access of all my life because I know what it's going to do to me in the long run. It's a risk. You know, it can create jealousy, it can create sabotage, so it can create so many things. You know,
can you call those persons your friends then if you don't fully trust them? Because like you talk about trust before.
I think there are layers to friendship. That's why we have friends, we have best friends, you know, we have good friends. There are layers. There are, for instance, let's say you always, when you want to have fun, there's always a group of person that you meet when you want to have fun. But these are not the same person that you talk about your business plan or your future. So those person that you have fun, won't you call them your friend as well? Like you guys go to watch UFC. So all in your free times that you meet them and you have fun, but you don't necessarily talk about your job, things like that when you are with them. You just talk about the football result or the upcoming football game. And that's it. And you guys relax. So they're still my friend, you know. But you can you can structure friendship. You know, it's just for you to be wise, not to just cast people away as you grow. You know, because it looked really materialistic to me when you just do that. When you just cast people away because back then you used to earn 6K figure and now you're earning 7K figure. So the people that you were with when you were earning 6K figure, you just cast them away because they are not on your level anymore. And because there's a possibility that they might be jealous on you. So I won't cast them away entirely. It's just that I'm going to be smart about the relationship that I have with them, having all the information that I have right now. So this is just my take on the issue.
Yeah, I get that. The way I see it is, I could have been friends with someone in the past, but if at some point, you know, like if at some point in life, I see that person cannot make me grow anymore, you know, it's not like I'm not going to talk to the person anymore, or if the person needs me, I'm just going to be like, no, don't talk to me. I will talk to them, but I will not consider them as my friends anymore. Because I would just consider them as someone I talk to very well, you know. So for me, to reach the level of friendship, you and I have to be essential in the other one's life, you know. So I want to be able to call you when I have like a business idea or if I have an issue in my life, and you can give me advices about it, you know. Because if I feel like somebody that is close to me cannot give me advices on what I'm doing in my life, you know, or I cannot give them advices on what they are doing in their life, I don't want to consider them as my friend, because like I said before, I consider friendship as a relationship where there should be interest in both sides. You know, so I want you to be someone I can call when I'm bad. I want you to be someone I can call when I'm good. I want you to be someone I can call when I have an event in my life. I don't want you to call you only to watch football matches, you know, or only to maybe go and play tennis, you know, because in my life, I'd be like, okay, I just need you to play tennis. So if there's no tennis, we don't talk anymore. You know. Do you see what I mean? So it's something. So for me, it's like you have to meet a set of requirements, not just one requirement, for us to be friends. You know, you have to be someone that meets A requirement, B requirement, C requirement. At least, even if there are five requirements, if you meet like at least three, I will consider you my friend because you can make me grow in many areas. But if you are someone that cannot make me grow or cannot make me be a better person tomorrow, or cannot help me in my project, or if I cannot be that for you, I don't want to consider that person as my friend. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, but for me, yeah. I would just say that they are friends and they are close friends, you know.
Yeah.
So not to misunderstand the two, you can. Okay, maybe you don't want to use the word friend to define those person that might not understand your current journey, but it's the same, like the people that can understand your current journey, maybe that's the only thing that you guys have in common, your current journey. It means that your business idea, they can give you idea, but just outside of the business idea and your current growth in terms of finance, you guys don't have nothing in common, but you're still going to call them friend because they are, you can get something from them. Even distraction is something that you can get. Sometimes you need to relax.
That's what I said. I said it's not like it's like I want you to meet like a set of requirements, like, and distraction is part of it. Like, if you are someone that I can call and be happier that day, you know, that is interest. Because I know that when I'm going to call you, you are going to make me happy. You are going to make me happier than I am right now. So that is one of the interests that I have with you, you know.
Yeah.
If I know that you can call me because you want me to go outside and do something, that is an interest for you. Because you know that you can get something for me, you know. So what I say is, I just don't want that person to be one aspect of my life. I want you to have many aspects. I don't want you to call me only to watch football games. Meaning during the summer, we are not talking because there are no football games during the summer. And then on September, you call me again. I don't want that kind of friendship. I want a friendship that during the summer, you can call me to be like, hey, I have this interesting idea for you. Or not even that deep. I want you can also call me to be like, hey, I'm going through something in my relationship. I want an advice for you.
Okay.
You know, I'm going. My girlfriend did this, and I want to know how to behave regarding that. That is another aspect of your life where I can help you. You know, yeah. So that's what I was saying. Like, I want you to meet like a set of aspects for you to be my friend, or for me to be your friend. I don't want you to only call me when you have issues with your girlfriend. That's not friendship.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah.
So we're almost saying the same thing. The only thing that differs, for me, I was just saying that, yeah, because what I was saying, that I don't want to cast someone away because I'm in a place right now that the person cannot match. But obviously, you don't need a degree to give advice to someone or... to just
you don't need more money for it, you just need to be there, you know, for the person.
In that case I understand. So my question to you now is, when it comes to friends, are you a small circle or a big circle type of guy, and why?
So for me, I would not say I'm a big circle or a small circle, because for me, as long as someone has the same, as long as I see things eye to eye with a person, he's going to be my friend. So they can be 20, they can be 30, or they can be 5. Right now, I find myself in a small circle. But that's not because I want. It's because the people that I meet see things. The people that I meet, and that because my friends later see things eye to eye with me. And like I said, they help me in many aspects in my life. You know, the other people that are not my friend, it's not because they are bad people, it's just because they don't meet those requirements for me to be their friends or for them to be my friend, you know.
Yeah.
So by the number of friends that I have ultimately depends on how we see things in life. That's all. So I can be big, I can be a big circle of friends, people, or I can be a small circle. It doesn't matter for me.
That's interesting. Yeah, I would say I'm a small seeker type of person, because the requirement that you want from a friend is a requirement that you will give to a friend.
Exactly,
so I don't see myself having that energy to check on too many people and to be emotionally there to too many people. Let's say friendship is just exactly
what
we define.
So
although there are a lot of people here that I can see myself being friend to, you still have to check them. You still have to give a lot of energy to them, because it's a two-way interaction. It's a two-way thing. So for me, I'm more like the type of person that I will just find few people, and then that I know that, and I'm an introvert type of person as well. So I don't really have too much energy into interactions to people. So I've just won a few people in my life when it comes to friends, and yeah, for me, it does the job, to be honest.
Yeah. And we also have reached an age where making friends is not easy, you know.
Yeah.
Because making friends is easier when we are going to school. There are many people in class, you know, you can find your friends easily. But right now, we reach an age where it's not, if you want to meet somebody to be your friend, that would be either at your job, and even that is not going to be many people. It's just going to be the people in your office or something. Or also, when you go out, maybe at the bar, or when you go to do your gym, or when you go to play sport or something. And also on social media. That's for somebody that wants to. Social media will be people that will use that. I would say it is people. There are people that are, let us say, very young. And they will use social media to make friends too. But me personally, I don't want any friends anymore. I just said that I could find myself in a 20 people circle to have a 20 people circle of friendship, or 5 people. Right now, I'm in a small circle friendship, you know, and I'm very good with it, you know. Now, talking about social media, what do you think about it? Like, does it connect us, or does it disconnect us more?
Does it connect us more,
or
with
does it
each other?
Yes.
Short answer is yes, it connects us more. This is the short answer that I think, because back then it was really hard to maybe send a message. It was just through email, literally. When I say it was through mail, not even email. It was through mail. So just to have news or to give update of your life to someone, you have to write it, and it was a bit difficult. So social media bring that facility. It bring that convenience in interaction with each other. So, you know, technology on its own is always positive when it comes to, it's just us human that use it to do something else. So short answer, yes, it connects us more with each other. It's easier, it's faster, it's cheaper. So now the long answer is complicated. I would say complicated, because although you can talk to a lot of people inside social media, it doesn't mean that you are connected to them, especially in a spiritual level. Like, what you see in social media sometimes is a bit, let's say, those celebrities that you see that make you isolated, make you even more isolated, because you see some lifestyle that you don't have, and make you depressed, make you feel like you're a failure, because people don't show failure on social media, they just show success, you know? So
yeah. And that's also how I see that it disconnects us, because you see most of teenagers today, they are on TikTok, on Instagram. Back in the day, we were going outside to meet people. We were going outside to do stuff. We were going outside to play football games or soccer games, whatever we are calling it. So now, everything is on the phone, everything is on TikTok, everything is on Instagram, and people are connected on those social media, but they're disconnected in the real world. So it's complicated. It's like, because, and there are more depression too, like you said, because people will see things online that are not true, and people will rarely post things that is bad for them. They will always post the bright side of their life, and you will always think that is how their life is. that's very false.
That's true.
Yeah, and even making friends on social media is very difficult, because people are rude for nothing. When they hide behind their screen on their phone, they can say everything they want. They can, and when you are talking to someone, maybe let us say a guy talks to him. No, don't take that example, because that example is a guy cannot talk to a girl just to be his friends initially. So let us say girls that use apps like Tinder to make new friends, like they say. Do you really think that they are looking for friends only, or they can really look for, or they are actually looking for a romance?
I mean, Tinder is self-explanatory. Tinder is all about intimacy, so it's not really an app to make friends. I would say Facebook is more like to make friends, and maybe Instagram. You know, although even those apps have been responsible of creating a lot of couple, and so many people met through the apps. So that's what I'm saying. Like, in the short answer, yes, because originally social media like Facebook, Instagram, so many people have met through those apps. You know, but the thing is, the young generation are the most are the victim of social media, I would say, because they don't. Their brain is not developed yet. The cerebral cortex is not developed yet. You have to wait until 25 years old. So even the friendship that they make through social media is really, really shallow. It's not really something real. And it's not deep. How many people have committed suicide because they were bullied on social media, for instance? So this is something that was an epidemic at some point, in a way that the government has to do something about it, about all those bullies that will bully you into suicide, literally. So social media was getting so toxic that you were getting assaulted online through insult and stuff. So yeah, but since, like you said, since social media is most used by teenagers, these are the target audience, I would say. If we do a breakdown of the market, you will see that maybe, I would say, 70% are people under 21 using social media. So yes, and also the exposure of things that they see that can create addiction. It might be some pornographic picture, it might be some explicit picture, maybe not pornographic, but really explicit, you know, borderline limit of pornography. You know, there are all those things. So for me, the best way to connect is to talk to people in person, like even increase your social skill, you know, because you don't need social skill to be on social media. You just hide behind your mobile or your screen, but you can't talk to people, you know. So it made people not go out anymore, or even when they're out there, they're into their phone. You know, you enter a train and you see people inside the train. No one is looking at no one, like everyone's face down. Yeah.
Or you are meeting with your friends in a restaurant and you will see some of them on their phones. That's terrible, you know.
Yeah.
And I will even say that is one of the reasons why there are so many people with a short attention span or with ADHD, you know. Because on social media, they are doing everything for you to have your attention on one post, maybe for like maximum a minute. And then after a minute, you are on another post. And then you are on another post. And then you are not on another post. You are not sticking with one post on social media. They are not designed for it. And I would say that is why so many people today have that attention issue. Because you will see a lot of people, they will believe that they have ADHD. But why do you have ADHD? It's because one of the reasons, we didn't talk about ADHD that much in the past. Maybe
Yeah,
didn't
that's
have that
true.
issue, that didn't have that issue in like that massive issue in the past. It is today that we are hearing about HDHD. Why are we hearing about ADHD today most than yesterday or in the past? Is because of social media, it's because of television, it's because of all those things that ask your attention just for 45 seconds, and then you are going through, you are going past that for another video or for another photo that you are going to see. But none of them that have your attention for a minute. But back in the day when we were reading books, that we take your attention for a month, we were not talking about ADHD. So
Yeah.
that's why I believe that a lot of people have short attention span today.
A lot of people have short attention span. Like they really need social media detox in order to rewire their brain, literally. And I think the pandemic didn't help because people couldn't go out anymore. Thus, they were just on their phone, they were just on the computer, they were just on the iPad, and they were just, browsing into those TikTok short video, which is just social media consumption. And to make you consume as much as content as possible in a short amount of time. And even the lecturer, when the pandemic stopped and people could go back to school, lecturer were complaining about the student that just couldn't focus on the courses for a long period of time compared to back then because of all these things that they have been consuming. So they really need a detox from that. And also it's also the fault of the parents sometimes, because now nowadays, the indoctrination is really early on. There's a thing, the iPad kit. Now that we live into a two income household, with the father and the mother going to work, when they come back from work, they don't really have the energy to spend on the kid. So literally what they do is they buy iPad, they give to the kid, and with hope that the iPad will just, we just take the kids' attention for them to rest a bit, for the parent to rest a bit. And what it create that thing early on for the kid to be addicted to those iPad, to those content, those video, and they grow up like that without knowing how to talk to other kids, without knowing how to go out there and play. So this is a deep issue that I believe need to be solved. So originally the short answer would be that social media is a tool that is used to increase human interaction. But it's not used that way because human just, you ruin everything. You need to monitor whatever you create nowadays because it always can backfire,
And for me, I'm not someone that would be a pro social media because there is so much disinformation on social media, or there's so much twisted truth on social media. So disconnection is this disinformation creates disconnection, especially during this period where they are when there's elections, in the US. They'll be giving you information about somebody, and most of the time it's false.
Yeah.
False information that divides people into,
Propaganda.
because they are going to give you false information about Trump. They are going to give you false information about another person, and you're going to believe it, and then you are going to create it, and that is going to create more division that we already have right now. And it's not always about politics. It's about anything that you can find online. There are people that purposely post false information just to create chaos, and people will believe it. So that's something very dangerous that I find in that I find in social media, where I think that if somebody is not intelligent enough or wise enough to make their own research, they're just going to believe everything they say. And even if they don't believe it and they don't make their own research, it's going to let grains in their brain that will make them believe what they saw that day later on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for the first thing I want to say before entering that segment, the first thing I want to say about loneliness that has been created by social media is, instead of fixing that, because they are aware of their statistic out there, they are aware of the inconvenience of social media when it comes to the young people and the increase of loneliness. Instead of fixing it, they actually made it worse because now they have created AI, which you can talk to as a friend. So instead of reducing the amount of time that you spend on social media and go out there actually make friends, that made you spend even more time into the internet with creating AI. And you know that young kid that killed himself recently to suicide because of the Game of Thrones AI. He was texting one AI, and he knew the AI was fake, and he was like, I'm going to come and join you wherever you are. It was just a way to say, I'm going to kill myself and join you, maybe in the virtual world. And he just killed himself. And the mother, what did she do? She sued the company making those AI. So that information was out there, but we don't know how many kids actually did the same thing as him. It's not isolated. So that's about that. And the second part about the information, for me, I actually like social media when it comes to information, because although you can find bad information out there, it's good to have different opinion that we didn't have. If you know Operation, I think it was Operation Mockingbird, where the media literally lied. Back then, we only had the mainstream media. We only had information from those mainstream television network to give us information. And, you know, it opened the door to the government to literally blackmail those media to give us false information that is convenient for the government. So now that we have social media, we have third party, we can find third party information that we actually fact check the information from the mainstream media, and this is how we help fighting the propaganda. It's true that it also opened the door to misinformation, you know, and so many people will find some fake things. But the thing is, those fake things you can fact check those fake things again if you know how to do research. You know, you still have that power through social media to actually find the good information and to fact check everything literally. So we didn't have that before, and that's why we were mostly, the previous generation was really indoctrinated about, you know, relying only on mainstream media. But now social media, this is one good thing when it comes to politics and information, to have different people to give you different perspective, and it's up to you as a person to do your own research. You can have that opportunity to do your own research that you didn't have before. You know, if you want to be lied to or if you want to find the truth, it's up to your level of intelligence.
But what will you say about misinformation though? Because someone can publish bad information or false information without even knowing that they are publishing false information. And then, like you said, we can fact check everything, but can we really fact check everything?
No, we can't, but now we have the opportunity to do so that we didn't have before. That's the thing, because you didn't have to wait for social media for the bad information. We already had that through mainstream media that we are supposed to trust. We already had the fake information for the sake of the government, you know, pushing a propaganda, for instance. And we didn't have social media to actually fact check the information. We just had to trust them because of their mission statement, of their vision, or what they say, that they always give the true information, and we just believe it because they are so big. And, you know, but then through social media, we actually realize that these media are not to be trusted 100%. You need to do your own research. And this is the opportunity that social media is giving us. Like, if nothing is perfect, you know, but...
Yeah.
When it comes to information, are we gaining more or are we losing more? I think that we are gaining more, because if your point is, before social media, we only had the good information, then I would say, no, we didn't have. There are so many instances of fake propaganda that was pushed through mainstream media that we are supposed to trust to the public, you know? And we had no way of uncovering it. We just had to believe it. So many action that was pushed was, you know, literally through the mainstream media, and we didn't know. So now that we have social media, we can be more aware. You know, I won't start to talk about some complicated things on the podcast, You know what I mean? That what is going on right now, that if we didn't have social media, it would be a really different story, you know? So, yeah, when it comes to information, it's for me, it's a half mixed feeling. But when it comes to loneliness, for me, social media is more like is a more even it's more okay. I need to talk about the age bracket, like for teenagers, for young people, it's more of a drawback, but for adults, it's still manageable. It's still better to have social media, I would say.
Yeah, even though I'm not a pro social media, that would be a good bargain to have to reduce the number of people, like among young teenagers that use the platforms, you know. So
yeah.
And yeah. we should, and like you said, we should have that parental control over people that are less than 21 years old, you know, because most of them will post things that are not even relevant to the audience that they are posting for, you know.
Yeah, that's true. The censorship, even Facebook went through a lot of censorship issue, like what kids are exposed to is not really filtered. Like it's supposed to, though. So there was a lawsuit. Mark Zuckerberg went and some senator was asking him why a kid should have to watch certain things that the kid is watching. Why is not censored like it's supposed to be? So all those things that the kid is exposed. And as a parent, you're still going to work. You can't monitor your kid 24 hours.
Yeah,
you know, even if you monitor the kid at home, is the kid still spend 8 hours a day at school, where all the kids that might not be monitored can show the kid things, you know. So you can't, as a parent, never monitor your kid 100%. There's still a risk for the kid to be exposed to things that the kid is not supposed to be exposed to.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, but for me, social media is still good. It was a good idea, but for me, you need to fight the greed of organization that actually created social media, like, because they only care about profit. Because what we have to do for social media is not beneficial for this company. Like if you say you have to restrict some certain things, it means that it reduces the reach that they want, that because they are making money through reach and advertisement. So if you have to reduce the reach, it means that they are making less money. So we need to fight the greed of the human greed of those society, of those company, in order to help the kids to be to literally be safe through the things that they're exposed to in through social media, and also find a way for those kids to not forget that the true interaction are made outside of the house, not stay and be shut in and just what I mean, yeah. But yeah.
All right. I think we talked about everything I have to talk today. I think that's a wrap.
Yeah, that's a wrap. That's a very, very interesting conversation talking about friendship and the effect of social media on people.
Yeah.
So for our first podcast, it was good. I hope people that listened to it really found it insightful and they didn't waste their time, literally.
Yeah, we hope that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hope that they will find it interesting and that they will share to others that might be interested into. No.
Yeah, don't forget it, guys. Don't forget to share. Don't forget to like and give us what you think about friendship. Write your story in the comment and tell us what you think about social media as well. If we say something that you disagree with, we just want to hear, and something you agree with, same. So just, it's a conversation. We are just normal people. We might be right, we might be wrong, but just through conversation that we learn. So don't be shy, guys.
All right. Thank you, Loic, for this conversation and for your time. I know in this world, nobody has time today.
That's true.
So, yeah, I'm very grateful that you were able to join me, and see you next time.
Thank you for having me. See you next time.
All right. Yeah. Stop the taxi.